Thank you so much for being here, and this is a great honor to be asked to talk. And I'm being moved. Is my head too big? Giant head. Oh, great. Okay, thank you. I have no awareness of how this goes. Anyway, so, and I've given a talk here before. I was telling somebody at the break, and it's like, it doesn't matter that I've done this before. I'm still just as nervous as when I did it before. So I guess I need about four or five more times. But anyway, so thank you. It's good to see you here and all you here and in person also. And I'm really glad and happy to see that a lot of you are interested in taking the precepts and becoming a Buddhist. And I have this thing called imposter syndrome. And imposter syndrome tells me that this is so ridiculous that I am sitting here talking as if I know what I'm talking about. This is so like crazy that I'm doing this at all. So anyway, there's a lot of time at the end. So I'm leaving a lot of time at the end. Can somebody tell me when it's 40 minutes in or 30 minutes in? Somebody wave in case I go over because I have no sense of time. But I timed this and it's not going to take that long. There'll be plenty of time for everybody to chime in and correct me and add and do all that stuff. I don't consider myself to be a really learned Buddhist in terms of scripture or sutras or anything like that. So please feel free to add to what I'm going to talk about. And I'm asking you to help me too when there's a part that you know and you're going to know. You can recite along with me and I'll point and you'll say it. You'll know. Okay. So the first thing I'm going to start about talking is the taking refuge in the three treasures. And I like to call these three precious jewels. And it's just to introduce the idea. And so first is a familiar bit that you'll know from our chant books and that we just recited. It's in the Kyoji Kaiman. I take refuge in the Buddha, I take refuge in Dharma, and I take refuge in Sangha. So I'll point at everybody when it's your turn. And this bit is from the Dharma Rains Precept Study Guide, which is a wonderful resource. It's linked to from that page. And if you haven't read it, please go read it because it's awesome. I love it. Taking refuge in the three treasures, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha is observed in all Buddhist traditions. At the most essential level, Buddha means awakened mind, Dharma refers to the truth itself appearing in events, and Sangha means community. Taking refuge in them means to openly acknowledge that there is an awakening to understand, I take refuge in the Buddha, that there is truth in the events of our lives to understand, I take refuge in Dharma. Excellent, great. And that we have a place in this world and cosmos to understand, and that this is as essential to us as air and water. I take refuge in Sangha. Hey. So to me, it doesn't mean to just believe or have faith. It means to rely upon and to believe that we can intuitively learn, understand, know the truth, and embody that truth in ourselves. And I could take up a lot more time talking about the triple gem that we've been given, the most precious treasure, why it's precious, what refuge taking means and is. And there's no way that an hour is enough time. This is like a glossing over concepts talk. So I want to have enough time to talk about the karma verse and the three pure precepts and give those enough attention. So, but luckily, Domio has gifted us with teaching on this topic already. And she pointed this out to me. And it's like, hey, go listen to Zen Studies Podcast episode 2. Two of the hundreds. It's like, oh, two. It's called The Three Treasures of Buddhism, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So if you go to the Zen Studies podcast page, it is literally called the Three Treasures of Buddhism, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So please do go listen. So I'm just going to sail right past that and go to the gateway of contrition, or admitting you have a problem. And I will start by saying the karma verse, or the Gatha of Atonement version, as it appears on page 3 of our chant book. Oh, actually, there's two versions, as she pointed out earlier tonight. I will go ahead and read the one that is the Gatha on page 3. So it starts with, let's say it together. All harmful karma ever committed by me since of old, on account of my beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance, born of my body, mouth, and thought, now I atone for it all. And in this Kyoji Kaimon, it says, all my past and harmful karma, born from beginningless greed, hate, and delusion, through body, speech, and mind, I now fully avow. They are two different translations, but same meaning. So I started with thinking about a word that I don't usually use very often in conversation, contrition. And it basically means it's a very sorry or guilty feeling about something bad that you've done, or the act of showing that you feel like this. So I've always asked myself with this vow, like, is this different from confession, like Catholic confession or the sacrament of penance? And since I'm not a Catholic, I've never been in the position to go into, you know, confession to say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, and, you know, before a priest and all that stuff. So I got curious and I looked it up, and it seems that in, and I don't really know, but it seems like from a Catholic point of view, there is a sense of being sorry in the prayers. There's a sense of being sad for what you've done and asking humbly for forgiveness. And so then I thought, well, when we're saying the karma verse here, are we sorry? Are we sad? And what are we asking? And from whom? I mean, how is it different? I think that there is some similarity in that there is a sense of regret and remorse and a sincere intention to not do it again. But it's a little different from there. To me, it's like we're just asking ourselves to bring it out into the light, whatever it is that we did, and acknowledge where we're going off course and how. And from Being Upright by Reb Anderson, I have a lot of quotes tonight, I'll warn you, because there are smarter people than me and they've said it better than me. So I'm just quoting, but it's a great book. Please read it. Confession of wrongdoing is an act of awakening, but the enlightened mind is not just noticing and admitting non-virtue moment by moment. Non-virtue, non-virtue, I'm sorry, I confess, clinging, clinging, attachment, attachment. I love the way you said that's part of what is going on in the Bodhisattva's mind, but that's not all. Simultaneous with this thorough inventory of neurotic activity, there is an all-encompassing loving kindness and compassion. Confession is an expression of the mind of compassion. The more that you resist acknowledging your neurosis, the less compassion and appreciation you feel for yourself and others. So with that in mind, I guess the feeling is more, for me anyway, it's more of a turning toward and forward rather than back and away from what you've done. And with that, there's a gentleness, there's a kindness and a compassion that Reb Anderson is talking about, I feel like, that you lead with. And so that's a difference in flavor for me. And then I thought, well, how do I feel when I'm reciting the karma verse? I feel like a lifting feeling, like an unburdening. It's a slight shift in my heart's alignment toward making peace with myself. And like many concepts I've learned here in this Zendo, I challenge them. I challenge this. I challenge everything. I test it. And so, you know, because it sounds kind of like, you know, a lot of these precepts and vows, if you just walk into it new, it feels like, well, why should I do this? But you do it sincerely and you open to how it feels. And then how do you know it's right? And how do I know it's right? It feels right to me. I feel better, not worse, like a lifting feeling. So the fact that I do feel better makes me think that this freeing, opening feeling must be right somehow. And with the precepts, like I said, they can be daunting. I think the great news is you don't have to be perfectly pure and good and have ceased doing anything harmful, released all self-attachment, doing only good for all beings right now. Wouldn't that be weird? Like, it's okay if you're not, if you claim to be perfectly pure and good right now, that would be seriously weird. And I think there's some sutra or story I'm remembering about, you know, if you meet the Buddha on the road, kill him. That I just thought of that one when I was studying this, because it's like, well, of course not. Like, of course you wouldn't. That would be, can't claim that. So each time you say the Gatha of Atonement, you get to accept and be whoever you are right now. And with each fresh moment, you get the opportunity to start fresh too. So now that we've unburdened ourselves and we have lighter hearts, so now you're ready to turn toward the precepts. And I call this part Foundations to Build On, the three pure precepts. This is a daunting topic also. This is crazy for me to be covering this at all. You know, please read the Dharma Rain Precept Study Guide. Please read John Dato Laurie's The Heart of Being if you've got time to find that and read it, because it's great on this stuff. But I'll just start by quoting Dharma Rain's Precept Study Guide on the three pure precepts. The precepts are natural and inherent in our lives, whether or not we consider them from a Buddhist perspective. They are not a test of or rules imposed by some outer power, but are akin to the natural laws of the universe with which we wish to be in harmony. I read that and I went, yeah. I'll start by reading the three pure precepts, and feel free to say any part of them aloud with me if you know them or not. So I'll start with cease from harm, release all self-attachment. This is the house of all the ways of Buddha. This is the source of all the laws of Buddhahood. Do only good, take selfless action. The Dharma of perfect enlightenment is the Dharma of all existence, never apart from the present moment. Do good for others. Embrace all things and conditions. Leap beyond the holy and the unholy. Let us rescue ourselves together with all beings. So, and then I thought, well, the meaning of these three, who gets at that? There's a lot written on this, but Kjogan Carlson says in the Dharma Rain Precepts Guide, cease from evil has to do with cessation, with halting action, halting habituated response. So stop. You arrive at non-action and come back to center. Doing good means to act from this place. You step out of your conditioning and act in a way informed by your centered mind. And third, do good for others means allowing the world to affect you. The suffering of the world becomes part of your own mind of Zazen. It takes our practice to the Bodhisattva level, which is to hold the condition of the world in your own mind to some degree. We can't do this all the time. It would kill us. but be open to it, accept it. We choose to stay engaged, and cultivating this choice is doing good for others. The choosing is the important part. Now, this is certainly a time when I'm thinking a lot about good and evil in the world. It's not every day that you come across text that says good here, evil here. So this is one of those rare times when you do in the precepts. And so here's what John Dado Laurie says in his book, The Heart of Being, about this. We live at a time of considerable moral crisis. This book came out in 1996, by the way, but sounds familiar. As individuals, as a nation, as a planet, the injury we do to one another and to our environment can be healed only by sound moral and ethical commitment. That does not mean being puritanical. It does not mean being moralistic. The precepts have a vitality different from any ethical teachings I have encountered in the great religions of the world. They are alive. They are not fixed. They are not a list of do's and don'ts. They function broadly and deeply. They are based on interpenetration, co-origination, and the interdependence of all the aspects of the universe. Well, of course. There, done. Okay. Of course. Like, it would be, I thought about this one and I was like, well, wouldn't it be nice if everyone just stopped doing evil things? Like, just stop it. If everybody just stopped that and then started doing good things, it's just incredible to imagine. These concepts can sound really trite and simple. You know, you just want to stick your head out the window and go, just knock off all that evil. Ah. But it's not that simple. And that's kind of why we're here, because this takes some work and it takes some thought and study. And I think goodness is an inside job. You can allow the light to shine in. You can turn towards it. But the first step is to acknowledge the existence of the light in the first place. And so many people are in a very dark place. And it's difficult to be in that dark place. But it does not have to be difficult. So what I mean by goodness is an inside job is that if you perceive or are just open to perceiving that fundamentally all things, including ourselves, are impermanent and interdependent, then stopping evil, being good, and doing good just comes naturally. The three pure precepts make perfect sense. You do good because you want to, not because somebody yelled at you to stop doing evil things. It'd be good. Like I was yelling out the window earlier, you stop being evil, do good. It doesn't work that way. It comes from in you. If we see that we're not permanent and nothing is, greed can have very little hold on us. Everything fades and crumbles away, even us. So what is there to reach for? And who is the one who's doing the grasping in the first place? It's pretty obvious, for example, if we're all interdependent on one another, then it's pretty weird to hurt another being. I mean, it's like your left hand stabbing your right hand. This makes no sense. It's intuitive if you hurt your hand, the other hand would come up to meet it and hold it. So if you stabbed your hand, you'd go like that, ouch. And that motion is natural. And it, just think if it were that natural, if it felt like that for everyone, to bring themselves to hold and to cover the injury right where it hurts, when it hurt, that's natural. So, okay, another quote for you. This is Cheryl Huber's The Key, and the name of the key is willingness. I'm a big fan of Sherry Huber. She's not for everybody, but I love her. And she has just the most, think she has four books out, but they are just the most conversational, friendly, approachable books in the world. They're awesome. And they're handwritten. They have like, they're all handwritten by her. So they have that extra. So she says from the key, and the name of the key is willingness, on page 57. We know what's right. We don't know what's right for everyone or everything, though sometimes we act as if we think we do. It's not necessary or desirable to know everything or anything for everybody. You know what's right for you each moment. Not fun or pleasurable or exciting, just right. Deep down in your bones, in your insides, and in your heart. It may take some practice before you trust that you have that knowingness about everything. And if you pay attention, that knowingness is already guiding you through your life. To the degree that you know it, do it. Not because you should or you'd better, just because it feels good to do what you know is right. See, that's how Sherry Hoover talks and everything. She's great. Okay, so moving on to the three pure precepts relating to and leading into the 10 brave precepts. So when I think about the precepts, I always go back to the three pure precepts first as a foundation for the rest. And usually this is when I'm confused or unclear about something. So for example, one of my favorite precepts, do not dwell on past mistakes. What number is that? 6, 7? Do not dwell on past mistakes. Create wisdom from ignorance. If I find myself grappling with that, then I could look back at the first precept, cease from harm. And I could realize that I'm harming myself by beating myself up for all my mistakes. And I should probably quit doing that. Not only am I harming, but I'm also doing it to myself. Is that self-attachment? You bet it is. Or I could look at it through the lens of doing good for others by presenting myself to others from a centered and wise place, as opposed to a self-punishing, ignorant place. Anyway, that's the way I've thought about the three pure precepts before, and I've used them to help kind of unlock the greater precepts. But also, the 10 grave precepts can come directly from the three pure precepts. And from The Heart of Being by John Dato Laurie, I will read you this quote. The three pure precepts essentially define the order of harmony in the universe. In the harmonious universe, there is not creating evil, there is the practice of good, and there is the actualization of good for others. The 10 grave precepts are the functioning of the three pure precepts. In other words, they answer the question, how? How do you not create evil? How do you practice good? How do you actualize good for others? They tell you how. In terms of viewing the 16 Bodhisattva precepts as a life instruction manual, because I love metaphors, but this works for me, is to kind of think of it as this very useful life operator's manual, I guess. So the first part, congratulations, you received a wonderful gift. It's a life operation manual. Hooray, it's a three-parter. Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, my gosh. Three. The second, you've opened the manual for a reason, because there seems to be a problem. The karma verse. The manual gives an overall explanation of how things work. And this is the three pure precepts. And now you have specific detailed instructions on what to do and how, the 10 grave precepts. So All this stuff. It's a process, and I really just started the process myself. I started coming here in 2021, 22, something like that. I haven't been coming here for, I haven't been studying Soto Zen Buddhism for decades and decades, like a lot of you have. So I feel like I've just opened the manual and lifted the hood and started tinkering away in there. But then this is where the metaphor kind of breaks down, because that would imply that once you fixed the car, it's fixed and you can just drive it away and you're good. But I figure that, at least for me, the main idea is just to keep to it and believe that it will work. And over time, your relationship to the precepts will change. And actually, what I found is the precepts have, in turn, started to change me by my following them, embracing them. So, but as it is with all Buddhist teachings, don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself and report back. So I have left plenty of time for questions, comments, input. And if you can't think of anything to say, I would love to hear how you feel when you recite the karma verse, but you can say anything you like. So let's see, how do I do this? We'll pick one and then we'll go to the cloud and we'll go back and forth. So
perfect.
Please have a seat in the chair.
The chair. I just want to thank you very much. That was a very helpful way of interrelating them that was right in front of me, but I didn't see it. So especially I like what you had to say about the three pure. First time I heard that, I thought you said pure. I'm like, pure? Pure? The three pure precepts and how the others are the actualization of them and all that. It's just very helpful. I really want to thank you for that. It has me rethinking and re-examining them, so that'll give me a lot to think about.
Great. Thank you. Oh, Jinryu has her hand raised. Let's go to that. What do I do?
I think you don't have to do anything.
It's because it's helping. And we're just like, go for it, Jinryu.
I just wanted to say thank you, first of all. I love the way you framed this. And I love the way you got the three pure precepts and set them up to be the rest of the precepts. It makes total sense. And I don't know why I never looked at it that way, but I have in the past viewed these as, first we take refuge, first we say that we're sorry, then we take refuge, then, we do these three precepts. And as I hang out more and more at Brightway Zen and think about the precepts, it sure seems like those first three, man, if you could get those down, you're golden. You know what I mean? I love taking refuge and I love the karmaverse. When I'm in the Zendo and I do the karmaverse, I feel like I can stand up taller. I just really love it. I think that's all I have to say at the moment, but thank you. It was very well done.
Thank you, Jin. Do we have an Alan? Come on down, Alan.
A very simple question. You mentioned three pure precepts and 10 great precepts.
Great.
So if I count correctly, that's 13. So where's the 16?
Oh, it includes the refuge. Refuge is
those are also
one, two, three.
They're also precepts.
And then, one, two, three. And then three is one, two, three. And then there's 10. So that's 16.
Okay.
I thought the same thing as you, though. I was like, 16, there's a number here. I need to figure this out. But yes. Thank you. AJ.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for sharing, Leah. That was a really great discussion tonight. I enjoyed it. I just kind of wanted to share the way I kind of think about contrition and the three pure precepts, which is, I think, you know, doing the karma verse is taking ownership, right? And saying, like, I recognize that there is a problem, which is the first step in doing anything about that problem. And then, you know, the first pure precept, which is just stop, right? And I think stopping what you're doing allows you to have some clarity of mind and then like kind of reassess where you're at. And then that allows you to work into, you know, starting to do good. And as I kind of incorporate this more into my life, I think that's really where I'm at right now, is in that, you know, kind of first step of like just stopping the, you know, the negative cycles and the getting too caught up in self-awareness and things like that, and just working to kind of slow down a little bit, you know, find some peace, and then from there kind of figure out, okay, well, now what does good look like and how do I start doing that, you know, using the rest of the precepts as a guide. But I think, you know, for me is really just taking the time to say there is a problem. How can I stop what I'm doing first? And then from there, kind of working to build the good habits. So I just want to share what I think about it. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you, AJ. That's so well summarized. I love it. Anything else? We got plenty of time. Coral,
I'll say some things.
Yay!
I really love your perspective. Thank you. I liked the part where you said you really challenge everything. When I first started coming to Brightway, I checked out the website and I'm like, oh, they're going to start the precepts soon. So I'll go the first day of the precepts. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like the word contrition.
Yeah.
I it was like a huge, with Shintai was teaching, I was like, what does this mean? And she, you know, she explained it and I was just like, okay. And my attitude towards the precepts have really softened over the years. And I can't say how much he's just like improved my relationships so much, in such an incredible way. But I do want to say about the Karmaverse that there was this one time when I was like very new to Brightway and I got in a really bad fight with somebody. And I was like, not at right.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. It's going to save my life somewhere, you know, someone who I'm close with. Yeah. And I mean, it was like a shouting match. And I kind of out of the norm for me, I felt really gross and disgusting. And I sat down on my new little meditation bench and everything. And I said the karma verse. And it was really something for me. Mm. I don't know. I just thought I'd share that. Really special.
Thank you so much. That is a great story. I think we were all trying to imagine a fight breaking out here.
No, it's not gonna happen.
But yeah, I mean, exactly. Like the way I approached it, the same way when I first said, I said, is this confession? Am I taking confession? Why am I not just a Catholic? What's going on? So yeah, that's where I really tried to figure that out and live with it and until I figured it out. But yeah. Natalie. Oh, I skipped Mick. Mick, I'll do you next. Natalie, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, all this talk of Catholic Church and confession. And so I grew up Catholic. So.
Oh, good. You can tell me.
Yes. I can. So act of contrition. Well, what I was going to say is one of the differences here is I feel here is coming from within, you know, and what's nagging at you just naturally. Whereas, I mean, I have these memories of fourth grade going in the confession booth, not feeling like I had really sinned, but being told by the priest, well, you must have, and going through, well, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you forget to go to church on Sunday? And trying to come up. So externally having somebody tell me what I need to be guilty for. And it didn't feel right. I felt, you know, this week, I don't think I really did anything bad. But so it's a very different flavor.
Yeah.
Versus just something naturally bubbling up within. And I think I discussed this last week in my small breakout group. If there's a precept, maybe I, you know, didn't follow as well, my body tells me I'll get a pit in my stomach, or it's again, it's from within, and it feels much more authentic than to work on it versus an external source telling you something that might not be true at all.
Mm-hmm.
One of the differences. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I prefer this one.
Thank you, Nat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to think of the keyword to bring away is natural. That's my favorite word in this whole thing. Sometimes I only leave a lecture, you know, in class and college. I remember if you leave with a word that you remember from it, that's good job. Anyway, I'm not a great student, or wasn't. So I see Nick there laughing at me. Nick.
Thank you. This is a really tricky one to do because you've got like six of them, and I thought you like summarized it really well. I really like what you said about Kyogen, kind of just taking it and just like just stop, you know, as a first step. I actually for a long time I recited either the Karma Verse or the Three Refuges as like a daily practice. It's nice and short. I would recommend it to anybody. And I feel like particularly with the Karma Verse, it felt like almost like a physical reminder that, you know, whatever my past and harmful karma has been, it has brought me to this moment. And I understand, maybe to understand is not the right word, but, you know, I can take action in this moment, which has been built by the karma of the past. And I think for me, that's a lot of what karma work is. It's about sort of acknowledging how your karma comes up moment to moment and how it makes you act in a particular way. And I think that, you know, being aware of it is one of the first things that you can do when we start to talk about, like, you know, all of this moral behavior, ethical behavior, like, is to understand how you relate your karma and how it brings you into every moment. And I think that's just like a great way of a reminder. It's when you say it out loud, there's something physical about it that just kind of brings your awareness right to the front. I don't know. I really enjoy this.
Thank you, Meg. Something you said made me think of that. It is really wonderful to think that all my past and harmful karma brought me here.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you kind of go, oh, good. Good then. I get an opportunity right now. So I love that. Thank you, Meg.
So in thinking about karma, my mom has always been a bit of a challenge for me. She hasn't always been very kind to me. And in fact, she's been very toxic. So many times over the years, I've had to separate from her because it would make me crazy. But I've always felt that I didn't want to live with regrets. I don't want her to die thinking that I didn't love her. I don't want to die thinking I didn't try. And so as I've aged and as I've gotten deeper into Buddhism, I have let go of all of this resentment. And I've embraced my mom in her, with all of her things. And she still pushes my buttons, but I feel like I am in a place where I have more compassion for her. My mom has never apologized for anything she has ever done to me, and I've never asked her to, but she just did. It's going to make me cry.
There you go.
She just, she texted me and apologized. She says, I've never said I'm sorry, but I'm sorry. And I like to believe that that has all of this has something to do with, you know, we're all so connected. So what one person does not move, or does not move the air around all of us. And so I think that our behavior, even if we say nothing, like I've said nothing to her, like I've never asked for anything. I've just, I want my mom. And then just not saying something and just accepting her. I think that was enough. And I'm very grateful. So
thank you, Yulie, for sharing that. I'm so glad. Mm-hmm. Charles. Go for it, Charles.
Yeah, so I really appreciate like your talk and everything, and I thought I really like that we spend as much time as we do on the precepts at Bright Way Zen, and you know, we get different perspectives and different ideas over time and everything. And you know, like I think some people who don't spend maybe enough time as they should, like asking these like spiritual questions and stuff like that, think of it like, oh, I don't need any help, just be a good person. It's not that hard, but it's like there are details to it that I think go, you know, are easily overlooked. And I the way that I was thinking about those first three precepts of like doing ceasing from evil, doing only good, and then doing good for others, it's like I was thinking of it as like eating healthy food. You can just say, oh, eat healthy. But it's three different things to like stop eating the really bad things, like Cheetos or smoking cigarettes or whatever it is, and then like only buy good things, pass up the soda aisle or the junk food aisle, and then to go towards super healthy food, like those super foods, or find new healthy things to eat. Like breaking it up into those things makes it to where you can actually start to think of like, what were the evil things that I maybe have done, or like how can I stop doing those bad things and then do only good things? But then once I'm kind of there, then how can I actively go out and like do good things actively for other people? And that's kind of how I was thinking about it. But thanks.
Thank you, Charles. Isaac, come on. Thank you, Isaac. Thanks, everybody, for giving this talk. Actually, I only read a short.
I think you should give yourself a little more credit. I really appreciate you being up there. Oh. I know how hard it can be. So my first exposure to the Karma verse was at the fall session, and I had been coming to Bright Wave like maybe three times. And it just was like, it really just opened my mind up. And like the whole idea of it being a beginningless, it really resonated with me. And then last year's precept study and this one, you know, realizing that sure, it's a beginningless thing, but I can do something different by following the precepts.
Mm-hmm.
So I can, like everyone's been saying. So I really appreciate you also pointing out that this is an inside job.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we can make it an inside job.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ivy. You're so kind. Thank you. There are 10 minutes left. I know. Hey, Clark. Yay. Thank you.
You did a great job. You do need to give yourself more credit.
Thank you, Clark.
This is something that I heard multiple people touch on, actually, and it's that idea of stopping. Mm-hmm. And something that's always seemed very counterintuitive to me is the idea of saying yes whenever we encounter a phenomenon, and that yes is a stopping point, even though it can seem like, oh, yes, I'm going to go with the flow. But being able to be like, yes to the situation, I don't feel really, not feel, but I'm not judging the situation one way or another as that stopping point, so that you can reflect on the pure precepts and then kind of like have that stopping where you're like, yes, this is happening. Is this good? Am I going to cause harm by doing this? Am I going to be helping others by doing it? And just the importance of, I guess, training myself to say yes as a stopping point, even though at first that saying yes is like almost like you want to fall into a habit and like, yes, as a, I guess I keep repeating myself.
No,
yes as a stopping point sounds so counterintuitive to me, but I've heard multiple people tonight talk about it in one term or another, you know, finding that place to be inside yourself, but also be able to step outside yourself to view that thing in both relative and absolute terms, you know? So mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just something that's always to me.
Thank you. That's a good way of putting it. That was kind of what I was getting at earlier when I was saying turning toward the thing as opposed to turning away from the thing. You could say yes.
Yes.
Not yes, I accept this, but yes, I accept this. Yes, it is. And then go from there. Wonderful. Anyone else? We have 6 more minutes. I should have planned more talk. Oh no. We could wrap up early.
About the significance of deep precepts for you.
I was just about to do that. I actually haven't. You're reading my mind again. Stop it. No, I seriously was going to say that taking the precepts and becoming a Buddhist is honestly one of the best things I've ever done. It didn't feel like that at the beginning. It felt like, well, here's another thing I'm trying, you know. But I feel like I've not only arrived at a spiritual home, but I feel like I've returned to my true original home. And it's like, now I recognize it. So I know that's very abstract and weird, but that's how I feel about it. And because of all of you, I get to feel like I come back home to family. Because everybody here is so supportive and accepting and just, you know, wonderful that I couldn't ask for more. I really couldn't. So by coming to precept classes and by opening that door, I hope you feel the same way that I do and I did then. And it's a developing process, getting better all the time. I've written a haiku. I'm inspired by all you guys writing haikus. And for the sharing in Sangha night, there was a lot of haiku-ness at that time, and I loved it. So I wrote one. It is, the order of all shapes every traveler's wing, fall geese flying home. Thank you. So, Welcome home, I guess. We offer the merit of this precept study Sangha meeting to all so that they may be able to obtain the truth. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Maha Prajna Paramita.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Good night.
Night.